The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals being interviewed and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Winter Haven Chamber of Commerce. You're listening to It's Happening in the Haven. I'm your host, Katie Worthington Decker. Each episode, I get the privilege to speak to the amazing people taking Winter Haven and its surrounding Central Florida area to the next level. We're future-focused, celebrating our entrepreneurial history and leveraging it for our bright future ahead. Hello, everyone, and welcome to It's Happening in the Haven. I'm your host, Katie Worthington Decker, President and CEO of the Greater Winter Haven Chamber of Commerce. This podcast is produced by the Winter Haven Chamber and recorded at Dolphin Image Studios in Winter Haven.
At Dolphin Image Studios, we are a full production film and television studio. We offer a 3,000 square foot soundstage, a psych wall, an LED wall, a podcast studio, and a massive 8-acre backlot for all of your filming needs. To find us, go to facebook.com/Dolphin Image Studios or find us on Instagram at Dolphin Image Studios.
Having your house or business broken into is a nightmare for anyone. The feeling many people describe is that of being violated. Having your personal space, a space you feel so safe, ransacked and your treasured items stolen. On today's podcast, we speak to retired detective John Robert about his book, Burglary, A Very Personal Crime. This podcast is made possible through the generous support of our sponsors who believe in advancing commerce and community in Winter Haven.
Citizens Bank and Trust, we've been your hometown full-service financial institution right here in your backyard since 1920. Now in our third generation of family ownership, we've served the Polk County community for over 100 years. No matter your needs, we have the right financial solutions for you. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we've got you covered, from secure checking and personal savings plans to a wide range of personal, mortgage, and business loans. Additionally, we offer a highly experienced group of trust and private banking professionals located right here in Polk County. It takes just one visit to one of our 14 convenient locations to experience what makes our bank special and why we invite you to give us a try. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we're proud to be your bank. Citizens-Bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
John Robert is a retired detective of the Miami-Dade Police Department, but his mission to help the citizens of Florida didn't end at retirement. John has taken what he learned over his career and written a book entitled Burglary, A Very Personal Crime, to help the people minimize their chances of being a victim or be more prepared if they are a victim of burglary. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
Well, we are excited to have you here speaking about this very important subject today. So before we get to the book, I want to learn a little bit more about what inspired you to write the book. And as I mentioned in the intro, you are a retired detective from the Miami-Dade Police Department. And you've held many positions throughout your career, which I want to talk about here in a minute. But perhaps the most germane to the book is your time on the burglary unit. So tell us a little bit about your history and then how that unit came to be created.
Well, yes, of course, just as any other police officer, I started in patrol. Mm-hmm. And of course, that would have been my first exposure to seeing burglary firsthand. The burglaries occur and, I had a good perspective of the effects it had on victims from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so as most patrol officers aspire to be detectives, mm-hmm. and so I did do various fields of investigations. I was offered actually an opportunity to work in Narcotics Bureau for a little bit, which I did, and I worked on a task force there a short period of time. I enjoyed that because it was something to help juveniles. Mm-hmm. It was a juvenile substance abuse task force, and we focused on gangs, their mm-hmm. use of drugs and such. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. And then, of course, the whole evolution, if you will, I started in various levels of learning about crime scene. Mm-hmm. I did crime scene investigations for a while as well. I was crime scene certified, which also lent a great deal to my being able to investigate burglaries and have a good background for it. Mm-hmm. And soon enough, I was also invited to be a hostage negotiator, of all things.
Wow.
And I went through certification there and then getting my experience. And I learned a lot about communication skills, of mm-hmm. course, in that job. That's one that's very important, that you're being able to communicate and read people well. Not just looking at them now. You have to remember that as a hostage negotiator, many of the negotiations you do, you never really see the person. You're hearing their voice. You're hearing the inflection of the voice, what you're having to try to hear and come to know through what they're saying and the way they're saying it. So I had, a knack for that as well, because I wound up doing it for the majority of my career, even before becoming a investigator per se.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that would be a very intense type of job, being a hostage negotiator, because I mean the litany of scenarios that you could run into in that, and I can only imagine whether it's adults with adults or adults with children, or what most of us know of that is from the movies, right?
Right.
That's what most of us know about hostage negotiation. It's always a very handsome, chiseled jaw negotiator that's going to come in and right. save the day.
Exactly.
But in
real life reality.
Oh, were you? No, you weren't. Were you really?
Yes.
What show
was
that?
Miami SWAT.
Really?
It's still on YouTube, I believe.
Were you a hostage negotiator at the time when you were on that? Wow. What was the case on that one?
Well, they featured me specifically. I think it was episode 5. I have a clip of it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the on my website, verypersonalcrime.com. And so I put it up there, but I'm negotiating a young man who was distraught and couldn't. Thinking of committing suicide by dousing himself in the house he was in with gasoline.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we had to be concerned with not only the fact that he would hurt himself, of course, though that, being that he could light the house
on fire right.
and he had actual 5-gallon container of gasoline that would explode and cause an actual explosion, which was a concern at, Miami homes are like zero lot line.
Right.
And
impact the whole neighborhood.
That would impact a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did there. But so
do you go through on hostage negotiation training? Is there a heavy element or emphasis on mental health training as you're doing?
Absolutely.
That? Yeah.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, the head of our unit was a psychologist.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had two actual psychologists, actually two folks, wonderful guys, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And yes, every month for 1 or 2 days a month, you go through training of sorts, a lot of scenario training. I was sent to different schools as well, advanced trained with the FBI actually in Jacksonville, Florida, was sent over there. It was quite an experience, quite a great part of my life. Mm-hmm. And then thus, you're asking about how everything came together for me.
Right.
So I was able to meld together my experience in crime scene, my experience as a hostage negotiator, and of course, the investigative courses and such, and the experience as an investigator. Mm-hmm. And it all came together for me. And so you use each and every one of those things, putting them together to be successful, because it's just being able to read a crime scene first and foremost, identifying a subject. And then once you have the subject in custody, you have to be able to communicate well and have the subject have the wanting to reveal how he or she worked, what their thoughts were. And that's really where I started my career of getting it in a sense, I think that not many other detectives had the opportunity to do so, because not every one of us had been crime scene or hostage negotiators.
Yeah.
So it led me a certain amount of success.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
in doing that, the police department asked Miami-Dade, said, you know what, we'd like you to do some presentations to HOAs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I did so, and boy, the response was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have to shut down the HOA meetings because there wasn't enough time in the evening to get all of that information out to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And the light bulb went off in my head, and I said, you know, I really need to get out there, and maybe in my second life, being a detective mm-hmm. there, in my retirement, I can get the book out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Well, and that's really what your book is, a combination of helpful hints and tips on what
yes.
individuals can do, of case studies and stories that you have put together throughout your career as a detective. And you speak in the book about how you've interviewed thousands of burglars, which have given you the ability to get into the mind and the consciousness of this particular type of criminal. First of all, are there any commonalities in who the burglars were, a profile of who the burglars were and their motives?
There's somewhat of a profile in it. Most burglars I found to be young, whether they're juveniles or young adults.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a lower socioeconomic background and such, I saw there an opportunity that they were, and I speak of it in the book as if they had all attended the same school of burglary.
Mm.
It's funny how I would see a pattern, if you will, that was very repetitious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, you know, if this is, you know, kind of like a math equation, if A plus B equals C, whatever, you know, burglars were all very much creatures of habit. And then I saw victims as well making the same mistakes
mm-hmm.
all the time. And I say mistakes because we go about our everyday life and we just do things as we would naturally do them
mm-hmm.
and keep our home the way we would or our business the way we would. And it was as if everyone basically followed that same pattern as well, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to change this crime around. I'm going to turn it around, you know, and I call it changing the face of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I hope to attain here. It's I have it in my heart. I really do. I mean, a fever, if you will, a passion to get the book out, to get the word out,
mm-hmm.
and actually be able that if enough folks read what's in the book and follow those, as you say, helpful hints and such and the stories, they can either avert being burglarized altogether or the impact will be minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And impact is very important to me because, the book titled Burglary, A Very Personal Crime, it's burglary is classified in the state of Florida as a property crime.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, being a property crime, it's almost as if you would say, okay, well, you only lost property.
It's just stuff, right?
It's stuff. Yeah. Your stuff was taken.
Right.
And you're going to file a insurance report, you know, a police report, of course, and with an insurance report as well. And you'll get your money, your stuff will be regained.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really contrary to everything, all the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal crime for me, and it was for all of my victims.
Mm-hmm.
They felt violated. They felt as if their space, their private space, had been entered and their belongings touched,
mm-hmm.
and a part of them inside, you know, that was touched in a negative sense.
Mm-hmm.
Children were impacted greatly. And I found a lot of victims not being able to sleep well at night then, post-burglary,
mm-hmm.
Having to go and get family counseling, asking me, what can we do? What can we do? And I get into it, of course, in the book. But
well, and you talk about, when you talk about it being a very personal crime, and this could be in any sector of your house or business, but you talk about the fact that a lot of the burglars would start in the master bedroom, or yes. that would be the first place they go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is because that's where we generally put all of our stuff.
Right, all of our good stuff.
And,
right.
Right. And it has to do with protecting that, mm-hmm. where and how to store it. Mm-hmm. I have a little story in there of how when I went on vacation once with my wife, and she being Cuban, of Cuban descent, she has a rice cooker because Cubans love
right.
rice as a staple of their diet. And so we put a lot of our stuff, mm-hmm. meaning the jewelry and so forth, mm-hmm. the valuables in this particular thing. It went into the rice cooker.
Right.
And it stayed there, right there on the counter,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
I told her, you know, I've never seen a burglar go into a rice cooker.
Go into a rice cooker before.
So
oh,
anyway,
wow.
It's a cute little.
Yeah. So when you were talking to the perpetrators in these cases, was there a profile for a good target? I know we talked about, you know, the demographics of the individual himself, but what was a good target for these criminals to commit their crime?
Well, of course, as you go, some folks surf the internet or get little pamphlets from police departments and such. Mm-hmm. They'll show them how they're a basic, I guess you could call them red flags that pop up when mm-hmm. you allow like newspapers to collect in the front yard.
Right.
Or your mailbox is all stuffed full of mail and mm-hmm. things as such. But really what I found is that each and every burglar had his or her own liking, if you will, of how a residence would look.
Mm-hmm.
Some were actually attracted to homes, and this is contrary to what you would read mm-hmm. in most pamphlets and such, preventative measures, they would actually feel that those with the highest level of security might have the highest chance of leaving stuff, mm-hmm. leaving valuables mm-hmm. out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were those burglars who were that bold mm-hmm. to go and try to hit the ones with that one.
Right, all the security alarms
yeah.
and all the everything.
And that's a good
cameras.
Point because when I get into all of that, it's mm-hmm. it's a matter. It isn't all about just an alarm, a video system, you know, this, that, and the other that you're seeing every day in and day out in media,
mm-hmm.
you know, commercials and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of layering, almost like layers of an onion,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and you're going to have different measures. And you're not going to have faith or trust in any one independent one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of, you know, I go into the book, too, as into crime prevention through environmental design.
Right.
And that is something that is, I think, super important. Because when you're dealing with that aspect of crime prevention, you're trying to make the target, your home or business,
mm-hmm.
Give it a not only the backing of security measures, physical
right.
things that you can do, material-wise, it also has a psychological component. And it lends to have the typical, which you could say that typical burglar to look and see and think, nah, I'll get the next one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay with us for more after a word from our sponsors. Get back to your best with expert physical therapy. Whether you're recovering from a sports injury or battling chronic joint pain, the expert team at Advent Health Sports Med and Rehab is committed to providing safe, compassionate care designed to help you heal, strengthen, and get back to your best. Convenient and comprehensive physical therapy services are now available at 3 locations in Polk County: Lake Wales, Heart of Florida, and their new Davenport North Boulevard location. For more information, call 407-303-8080 or visit ahsportsmedcentralfl.com. So one thing that you talk about in the book is, for example, residential burglaries. Is there the fear in the mom or the individual in all of us, the one that all of us that watch a lot of crime shows, it's going to happen in the dead of night and we're in our bed sleeping and a burglar's going to break in. And it's not that that doesn't happen, because I'm sure you've worked cases where Yes. that has happened. But is that a typical burglary, if you think of all the cases you worked, or what is more typical?
More typical, without a doubt, 90-something percent of burglaries occur during the daytime, because burglars want to, of course, they're looking at entering a home when it's empty, so that they can have the time they want to look for your valuables and such. And we spoke about the master bedroom and such. They can't do that if you're home walking around.
Right.
I mean, they can, but then we were talking about another level of crime.
Because that actually increases the level of crime, right?
Right. Absolutely, it does. So, yes, most during the daytime hours. Now, what comes in to be a critical component of that, and what I try to bring out in the book, is that many, many folks today and day, they have their children coming home before they do from work. So, you know, your children are at home, they're alone doing their thing. And parents do instruct them, if you will, on what they feel is the best instruction for a knock at the door, let's say. And I will say that many, many, again, you're talking about 90-plus percent of the burglars, they do one thing or another to assure that the residence is empty before executing the actual entry to the residence. So in doing so, typical would be knock out the door and see if someone answers the door. They could always excuse themselves to say, oh, I'm looking for my lost dog, or I'm out here, I'm cutting grass in the neighborhood next week. Can I come by and cut your grass? And we're having a special, whatever story. Yet the actual objective there was to see if anyone was home or not. And what I found very often, again, very high percentage of children that were not taught properly as to how to answer a door. And I'm not talking about opening the door, of course, and putting them in a direct contact situation with the burglar. It's a matter of being trained correctly, given, and I go through that
Some
in the
steps
book.
In that,
and there's steps of that. And I also encourage, along with those steps, scenario training so that the family can, okay, let's go through a dry run here. You know? And I mean, let mom or dad, or, you know, go to the door, knock at the door, and then have the children practice what they'll do. Because it's very important to commit, as I say, to muscle memory. Muscle memory is something that we all revert to in times of stress. Okay, so that's what's most important. I can't tell you how many times I would be out there doing my investigations, an in-progress burglary goes out, we're all going there, I'm meaning our patrol units, detectives that might be in the area, and then I get there, the burglar had broken in because the child did not follow a specific correct means of, you know, what we talk about
to create
in the
an
book.
Aversion, basically. So
well, you know, to acknowledge there's presence.
There's someone home,
And lo and behold, I'm holding then a child in my arms crying, and and they're very much impacted then. And it causes a whole slew of problems for the future as well. And, you know, many of them requiring counseling.
Yeah, it's definitely an important part of the book for, I think, people to understand of how to instruct someone. Because, I mean, when I was raised, it was don't answer the door. I mean, that's bottom line what it was. And I'll never forget when my parents forgot to tell us that they had hired painters to come, to come. And we were literally all sleeping, and there's somebody cracking the window trying to get the windows open in the sheer panic. And what did we do? We ran into a closet. Thankfully, there were three of us home at the time, but we ran into a closet. And, you know, our first reaction was not to call 911, which I guess in this case was probably a good thing because they were actually legitimately hired people, but to call our parents. I mean, that's what we mean. And this was pre-cell phone, so it's not like we had three phones. You only had one phone line, so we called our parents.
And that's another aspect that you're talking about is very important, because all too often we had children call mom or dad right away. Hey, this is happening. What do I do? You know, and they've ran to their bedroom or whatever, locked themselves. And then the parent calls 911. And then so now we have a communications issue, because it's going from dispatch, you know, the
You're not talking to the first
officer,
person. Right.
Right. To the parent, to the child. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the field saying, you know, can they advise where their room is, what section of the house, so forth and so on, because we have a way of identifying, police officers do, of what the house might be as far as what layout is there.
Gotcha.
And
it's
a safety issue for us as well, of course. So,
But
we get into that.
So, and in the book, you talk about both residential and commercial, and with commercial being almost the opposite of that in terms of obviously businesses are open during the day for the most part and then closed at night. One thing that you mentioned is there's a lot of tips and checklists and think about this, think about that, depending on your own home or business. What can a person do to harden their home or their apartment? And we talk about homeownership a lot, but even from a rental perspective, from burglary.
Well, again, there are multiple steps, and that's what I revert back to, as I said, the layers of the onion that we have to peel back and look at. And so there's just a number of things between, you know, starting off with a simple alarm system. I try to get into the basics of what an alarm system should be, because of course you can spend a little or you can spend an awful lot, right? And so I try to get the whole point of my, I would say, guidance is to just at least touch on what I feel is the bare minimum and what is going to be the best for you in your particular situation. And it's every situation is different, every home, every business. And we go into that kind of thing.
And then also one thing you talk about in the book is insurance and insurance coverage.
Absolutely. It's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Insurance, I found, was it wasn't properly covered. You know, you buy a home, especially maybe as a young couple or a young single person, that your first ever home and so forth and so on, and you're excited and you're there, and of course you're being told, you're worried about mortgage more than anything,
right?
And but you're told, well, you got to get an insurance policy too and have that ready for all your closing and so forth and so on. But a lot of folks were underinsured. And so I get into the different aspects of insurance, and it's not only being well insured, but it's also talking about what are the different components of keeping your insurance up to date and so forth and so on, because values change as you go through the years.
And you acquire more stuff,
Stuff, stuff changes in its own of value. And,
So, and then obviously for a business, the same thing that goes along with that in terms of making sure, one, that you've got a good inventory of, and this is at home too, you should be inventorying at home as well, because that's one thing that I've, you know, you hear people say is like, well, they're asking what's missing. Well, okay, well, what was in here? What was in here? I don't remember. But having a good inventory, or even pictures of your home, having refreshed pictures of your home every year.
I point out in the book a rock solid way of maintaining proper inventory, proper property identification, you know, a safe way of identifying your property. And having that all put together. So, and I mean, it's not just for burglary. You're talking about fire or any other.
Right.
Could
yeah.
be flooding, what have you. When you're, again, as you said, in the midst of having gone through a burglary, and now you have a police officer sitting in your living room asking you to provide a list of things that were taken, you're all over the place.
Right.
You know? So this way it lends, again, a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's all part of this.
So what steps should someone take when they've realized they've been a victim of burglary?
That's very important to know that once you arrive home, mm-hmm. let's say it's your personal home, and you walk in the front door and you see that, oh, everything's been ransacked or what have you, it's important just to back out the same way you came in, mm-hmm. you know, and be aware that the burglar could still be in the residence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would say that the first thing in mind would, of course, notify the police department. All too often, we would get calls. People would go in, rummage through their things, like looking to see, oh, where did this go? Where mm-hmm. you know, what is this? What is that? And you're in a state of like confusion and being upset. And you got to remember, it's a crime scene,
right?
You know, and that goes back to what I was talking about, mm-hmm. knowing crime scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to recover evidence. We need to maybe get latent evidence or DNA evidence, and we can't have. I know it's your place, and I understand, and the heartbreak and the heartache, and you want to know, or you know, you're looking to see how are your pets, because a lot of folks, you know, their pets are involved too, and mm-hmm. I have a chapter that I talk
yeah.
about the pets and how to protect your pets, mm-hmm. because we had them stolen and wind up in different, you know, black market kind of situations for
yeah.
sale. But
wow.
Anyway, that the whole point I try to stress is be safe mm-hmm. first and foremost. Back out of the house, call the police, let us get there, let us do a walkthrough, and we do so, you know, in a very obviously mm-hmm. a way that we're trained to be safe and to clear what we call, quote unquote, clear the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll clear the residence and then say, okay, it's safe for you to go in, but then they will walk with you and have you be very, let's say, careful not to disrupt any obvious signs of what could be mm-hmm. in, used as evidence.
Mm-hmm. So, John, a lot of what this book is, at least the way I take it, is meant to do is to really open your eyes to the habits that you may have,
yes,
that all of us have. As you mentioned, we just go about our daily lives, many times routine. Routine is one of the things we talk about, but we go about our daily lives and we don't really think about the things we may be doing that are putting us at greater risk, or the things that we are doing that make it easier for someone to come in and burglarize us, whether that be from residential or for a business. And so I think that's what's so special and unique about your book, is that you understand kind of all sides, both from the victim perspective as well as the viewpoints of the criminal and the people that would commit these crimes. And then you understand the aftermath and those things that people need to do afterwards and what stressed them the most, kind of what was left behind after the crime took place, which is what I think makes this book and your vantage point in writing this book so unique. So where can someone go to get more information on the book, on more information on you? Because you also do consulting work, which I didn't mention, but
yes.
people can also hire you to come in and do an analysis for them on how they can make their harden their home or business.
Yes, I make myself very available to do different things. I like to do seminars
mm-hmm.
and I like to consult. Basically, I have a website, of course, averypersonalcrime.com. And if folks go to that website, there's a link to go and purchase the book or mm-hmm. to go ahead and send me a notification of an email
mm-hmm.
Through there. They can see different things about me and about what we do. in the hopes of changing the face of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are on Amazon. The book's on Amazon. It's doing well. I can't emphasize enough how this is kind of like I'm on a mission here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's no such thing as retirement for you.
No, you're on
a mission.
I mean, seriously, I think once, and that's why I'm here, and I'm trying just to get the word out as to everyone and anyone. I ask everyone to at least take a moment and think it through. Because, you know, all too often folks say, oh, no, I've done this, I've done that, I'm okay. I know I've got the famous ring device or whatever device, not to pick on anybody individually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pick one or the other, and I don't promote anyone. I just think that people need to be more aware, as you say, every aspect of what can or what I've seen happen.
Right. Stay with us for more after a word from our sponsors.
Citizens Bank and Trust, we've been your hometown full-service financial institution right here in your backyard since 1920. Now in our third generation of family ownership, we've served the Polk County community for over 100 years. No matter your needs, we have the right financial solutions for you. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we've got you covered. From secure checking and personal savings plans to a wide range of personal, mortgage, and business loans. Additionally, we offer a highly experienced group of trust and private banking professionals located right here in Polk County. It takes just one visit to one of our 14 convenient locations to experience what makes our bank special and why we invite you to give us a try. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we're proud to be your bank. Citizens-Bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And I know there's deficiencies. And so, of course, I encourage everyone to buy the book. I encourage everyone to read it, take it to heart. Call me. Let me know. We can change the crime together, change the face of the crime, as I say. I know it in my heart, as I was so involved for 29 years of my career in law enforcement. It's just, I know it in my knower. I talk about that too, because there's some thoughts on that as well, on how you can be a better neighbor as well, and how you can be more aware of being of what's going on. You know, I call the book A Comprehensive Guide to Awareness and Prevention, because I'm going to try to heighten your awareness in every aspect. You know, day one out of the academy, I remember my trainer, field training officer that rode with me, saying, the more aware you are of your surroundings, the better off you're going to be all the way around. And it's true for every one of us, really. And especially in this day and age where we're so involved in social media, or, you know, we're on our phones and we're always looking down. And I want folks to be safe. You know, I want folks to have peace of mind, peace in their hearts, that they know that their home is as safe as they can make it, that their children are going to be as safe as they know how to keep it for them. And it's going to be, I'm looking forward to that day that someday someone's going to say, hey, this book really made an impact.
Right.
You know?
Well, I know it will. And John, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, to share some tips with us today. And as I mentioned, the book is called Burglary, A Very Personal Crime. And we are so fortunate that you have taken your depth of knowledge throughout your career and put it on paper for us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
We'd like to welcome and thank Mahalik Auto Group for sponsoring season two of our podcast. This family-owned and operated business was first founded in 1966 in Michigan by Ralph Mahalik Sr. The family opened Winter Haven Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in 1991 and continued to expand in Polk County, now owning three additional dealerships at Posner Park, in Lake Wales, and Alfa Romeo Fiat of Winter Haven. Not only are their teams dedicated to finding you the perfect vehicle, but they are also focused on building a strong relationship with the community and treating their buyers like family. Find your new ride for 2021 and learn more at www.lowpaymentkings.com. Well, that's it for another episode of It's Happening in the Haven. We'd like to thank our guest for today's podcast, former detective and author John Robert. Be sure to tune in every week to It's Happening in the Haven, available on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. To learn more about Winter Haven and the Chamber of Commerce, visit winterhavenchamber.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We hope you learned a little bit about our community today and even more about the people who are shaping its future. After all, no true community exists without the people who form it. Winter Haven. Some call it a haven. We call it home.